It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and the brand new feature Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor. He is a professional counselor and life coach, and we're getting to know Daniel and his approach to Bible-based counseling. And welcome once again, Daniel.
Good to be here, Mark.
Good to see you. Hey, we got to know you a little bit about last week's show and some of the different topics you want to discuss on your program. Real quick recap, what do you mean by Bible-based counseling?
I tell people it's Bible-based because I'm Bible-based. That's where I get my perspective of life and health and what the mind should be, and that we're spiritual creatures, and that all, you know, the recipe for life is in the Bible. Although it's not pastoral counseling. People should not expect to come in and give and tell me their pain, and then I say, well, there's a scripture verse for that. I'm going to assume that a lot of my Christian clients already know those scriptures, mm-hmm. and I want to talk to them about the rationale of life underneath so that they can then look back at that scripture and say, and it really does work.
Mm-hmm. Well, this week we are focusing in on one specific topic and all the ways that we are affected by anger, and mm-hmm. you want to talk about how to deal with anger this week on the show.
Yeah, anger's big. Anger's pervasive, and it doesn't always look like anger, and that's where I had learned over the years from experience trying to get a control my anger because I had a huge anger problem. And my wife, I was actually
you
teaching.
Had an anger problem?
I had that hard to believe. Okay, now I've got a... I just contradicted myself. I still have an anger problem because it's pervasive. It's less of a problem for other people right now, but it's still a problem for me. I was actually teaching. I designed an anger management program for teenagers and their parents, and I was teaching that, developing that, and then I'd get out of sorts at home and explode, and my wife would say, "Oh yes, Mr. Anger Management Specialist." So that was like my sin was ever before my face, but I learned that, you know, if I'm practicing anger all day long without realizing it, and I'm just trying to fix it for the hour and a half or 2 hours that I interact with my family in the evening, I'm not going to be successful because for 8 hours or 10 hours, I'm getting better at it and then trying to undo all that in 2 hours. So the key to understanding and to, you know, controlling and managing your anger, being angry and not sinning, is to recognize the anger before it looks like anger.
Hmm.
Now, so I would imagine, visualize yourself making a stew. I spend some time in the kitchen. That's not hard for me to do.
I'm stewing about something? Yeah. Is that where this comes from?
Well, there's a carryover. Yeah, that's a good analogy. So
you're making a stew.
I'm chopping up the ingredients for the stew, and at some point I've got all the ingredients in there. Now all I really have to do is turn up the heat, and it automatically becomes stew. Mm. But we're talking about anger. Or stewing over something. Mm. So at what point does the stuff in the pot become stew? Well, you could say if I want to really, if the ingredients are already in there, so somebody comes with a pot that's overflowing, so their anger, they're acting out overtly angry, and what are you angry about? Well, I'm angry because that guy cut me off. Well, let's look at the pot. Let's look at the other stuff in there, and it actually comes from way, way back, not necessarily back in time, but I'm looking at all of the ingredients in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And we get back quickly to the basis of a person's life, all of our lives, is basically a pursuit of value, control, and power. So I want to clarify that to people, the pursuit of value, control, and power. It's a bit of a reach, and we aren't going to be able to discuss it here in the great depth that I would in a counseling situation. But the three things, you know, I say that we're all afraid and we're all afraid of the same thing. And anger is a response to fear. So if I were to ask a person, if we're all afraid of the same thing, what are we afraid of? And so they would say insecurity and those things, insecurity, helplessness. Ultimately what we're talking about is our mortality.
Mm.
That's the one thing that we all have in common that we have no control over. Mm. It's going to happen. Now, as Christians, we say, well, it doesn't last very long because I'm going into eternity. But when I talk of death, I'm kind of freeze framing that moment between this life and the next life where there is no certainty at all other than our faith. It's kind of like a, you know, the Bible says that the righteous don't see death. There's something there's a kind of an exchange there. And if we're not Christians, or if we don't really have our mind on Christ, which is kind of the state that most Christians are in a lot of the time.
Yeah.
We may say that we believe in eternal life and that, you know, not death, but we live like we fear our mortality. Mm. And what we specifically fear is a loss of value, a loss of control, loss of power. Value, that's easy. Everybody wants to be valued, to feel like a valuable part of this group or that community.
Sure.
Control is a little different. So people will say to me, I'm not after control. No, we're not talking about being after control of other people,
right.
But I want control of me.
Right. Yeah. The situation, what's happening.
Yeah. I want control of me. The existentialist would say, you want freedom. You want choice.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the other is power, or you could say resources.
Mm.
Now, if you allow your mind to go here and you think, okay, value, control, and power, if you take those three things away from a human being, you no longer have a human being. Mm. And that's at the edge of our mortality.
Mm.
You know, it's
yeah.
kind of, as a human being, I no longer exist. I'm more like an animal if I don't have value, I don't have control, and I don't have resource. So these are the things that we intuitively pursue, whether we realize it or not. How do we pursue them? In the cars we buy, the clothes we wear, the friends we have, the church we go to, the vocation we choose, there's probably nothing that you do consciously that doesn't have something directly to do with your sense of value, control, and power. And this is how we interpret life, having value, control, and power. So we're pursuing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anger is the pursuit of those things. And so I define anger this way. Anger is fear-based, defense mechanism, associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power.
Hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that here, too. It's rooted in fear, but it's also rooted in entitlement.
Yeah.
And our generation has been jokingly called one of the most entitled mm-hmm. bunch of people ever, and that's maybe why we have yeah. so much anger in society
yeah.
today.
Yeah. Yeah. Entitlement. So somebody might say, Mark, somebody might say, that person across the hall, they're such a controlling person. And a lot of times I would want to say, what's wrong with that? Well, they always have to be in control. What's the problem? Well, obviously, if they're in control, I can't be. There's a sense of yeah. entitlement,
right.
you know, that we don't even recognize.
Yeah.
But it happens in road rage. It happens at Starbucks when somebody, you know, the gal knows the drink that the guy in front of me wants. When mm-hmm. she gets to me, she doesn't know what drink I take, even though I've been there every day for the past, 6 months. She doesn't know my drink. She should know my drink.
Right.
I'm entitled, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
And without realizing it, that's an anger behavior, you know, and it can be so subtle. You can get up in the morning and dress your best and you go out, you know, I'm looking good, in my car, driving, I pull up to the stop sign, I wonder if people see me. These are how they think about, you know. We don't recognize that sort of pride, that ego, is an anger behavior. How is it an anger behavior? It's fear-based. Fear mm-hmm. of what? Loss of value, control, and power.
Yeah.
And
we feel like we have I have a right to these things.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have my rights. And that seems to be another buzzword. So when people don't feel like they're getting their rights, mm-hmm. That leads to anger.
Yeah. So recognizing how so much of my life is potentially anger-driven.
Mm.
Now, not anger in the sense that I'm breaking dishes or yelling at people, but anger in the sense that I'm driven to pursue value, control, and power gets into some of our life perspective things that I talk about, because I'm either pursuing value, control, and power through immediate gratification, that would be all the addictions,
mm-hmm.
or I'm pursuing it through acquisitions and achievements, my car, my job, my money, my wife, my kids, their successes,
mm-hmm.
or hopefully at some point, this is what we aspire to, I'm pursuing it through surrender, and that's when life becomes about other people and not about me.
Mm-hmm. That does seem to be the cure to anger is surrendering
yes.
your rights, surrendering mm-hmm. your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That is so counterintuitive, mm-hmm. though, to, I think, just human nature, but even more so in today's culture, because mm-hmm. it's all about me, it seems like.
Yeah. And in Western culture, we, you know, that's easy to recognize just what we've been talking about. In other cultures, the same thing exists, you know. I remember studying Native American history and culture down at Evergreen for a while, and there was a numerous times you'd hear lecturers lecturing on that, and they would often say that in that culture there was no competition and there was no, you know, envy or anything like that. But they would have totem poles, and the totem pole would be so high, and it would represent how many pot latches you had given and how big they were. So, yes, in fact, there in every culture, there's a way of measuring, immortalizing myself by rising above the other mortals in some way. And, you know, even a picnic.
Even a picnic.
Can be an anger behavior, you know. Vocations can be anger behaviors. Yeah. We drift toward vocations, in fact, that give us a sense of certain value, control, and power. And the litmus test in whether it's anger behavior or not, or how we can even take a good thing that is anger behavior and turn it around where it's not an anger behavior, is to ask myself, you know, what would happen if it was taken away from me? Or what happens? What do I do when somebody gets between me and that behavior? You know, if somebody bumps my car or bangs their door against my car, or if somebody walks out of my office and says I didn't help them, or if or somebody storms out of the church, or somebody doesn't pay their tithe, or has some, you know, comment about, you know, something that I do or something that they don't notice, what happens in my behavior? Because that will tell me if that is an anger, if I'm using that as an anger behavior. Or not. So the key is, so people say, aren't you getting kind of nitpicky? Again, we'll never control anger until we recognize it when it doesn't look like anger and start handling it there.
I've heard the term, he really gets my goat. And then, but they say, well, that means you must have a goat to be got. So you got to surrender those goats. We are talking with Daniel Pryor, professional counselor and life coach, and the program is Sound Mind. You can find out more about Daniel and his services and maybe email him a question for a future broadcast, BibleBasedCounselor.com. That's BibleBasedCounselor.com, and his office number is 425-778-6169. He has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. We'll be back with more on the subject of anger today on Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And Mark Holland sitting in with Daniel Pryor today. He's a life coach, a professional counselor. His website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And this is our second broadcast of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor. And it's really good to get to know you, Daniel. We're talking about something you said you used to have a real problem with, anger. And we're talking about that subject this week, anger. Do we manage anger, or do we just recognize it, or do we somehow maybe get rid of it? What are some of the approaches to anger?
Well, because anger is, because we are mortal, and because we don't ever resolve that, I think that we always have anger with us, because anger is that is a fear-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power. And that fear that we have, the loss of value, control, and power, is very closely connected with our sense of mortality. That ultimately we do face situations, and ultimately death, but we do face situations over which we have no control. And that reflects, if I don't have any control of this situation, any situation, you know, everybody that's ever had a speeding ticket, you know, there's a very you know, you embrace your mortality when the police officer comes up and says, hand me your driver's license, give me your, you know, you have no control. I mean, you can't justify your behavior. All you can do is hand him the material. So he's in total control, and he's taking this stuff, and then he's going to come back and he's going to kind of read you the sentence, and this is what you got to do. And and you hope he's having a good day, but otherwise you have no, and your value to him is very little, you know, is you're just, it's just another ticket. So, but anyway, example, but we all have those situations from time to time where we embrace our mortality in a mm-hmm. sense, and not a very comfortable feeling. What we want to do is try to avoid that. And so we behave in certain ways, dress certain ways, drive certain cars, have certain vocations, hang around with certain people that make us feel, you know, in control and different things like that. So all of it, so anger's pretty pervasive. So in answer to the question, I would say we have to manage anger. We mm-hmm. have to recognize it and manage it. And, you know, and the anger that I used to have, the overt raging kind of anger that I used to have, the reason I don't have that now is because I've learned to use these tools that I teach other people, and I've learned to ask myself and to catch it really early and mm-hmm. recognize it when it doesn't look like anger and say, I know where it leads to. It's all, you know.
Well, so in other words, you're saying to a degree, anger, some degree of anger is normal.
Oh,
it's
yes.
human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a response to fear.
Well, the Bible even says, what does it mean when it says, be ye angry and sin not.
Be angry and sin not, or we've heard it, in your anger, sin not.
Yeah.
And so the way I practically look at, so some, and this is a good example of people coming and you know, we've talked before about the difference between just counseling and Bible-based counseling, where people would come with this scripture verse and say, you know, I know the Bible says, you know, that I can be angry, but I shouldn't sin. So, you know, what I want to talk to them about is, how does that really make sense? Because it's kind of a riddle. Mm-hmm. And if you just let it go like that, you know, I know that then it doesn't do anything but bring condemnation. So we want to try to understand, okay, the Bible makes perfect sense, but how does it make perfect sense? What could that possibly mean? How would you be angry and not sin? Well, I'd want to understand, what am I afraid about?
Mm-hmm.
What am I ashamed of? Can I do anything about that? And see what's happened when I ask myself these questions. And that is a couple of the questions that I tell people, you know, these are things you need to remind yourself to, you know, these are how to stop the train. The train goes like this, Mark. It goes beliefs, emotions, behaviors, beliefs, emotions, behaviors. So you've got that, you've got a train and three cars going down the track, and you're just on the train, and it's taking you to an ultimate behavior, and you have no control about it. Beliefs, emotions, behavior. All you have to do is step up above the train and say, hold it. What am I afraid of? And right immediately, you are in control of, you are now looking at your behaviors and your emotions and your beliefs, and now the train stopped. Mm-hmm. And now you get you switch the tracks if you want to. You can say, oh, I know why I'm angry here, I'm afraid of. And so when I'm just saying this, and people that are hearing this for the first time, it's probably sounds like a quantum leap between this behavior and what am I afraid of. But what I teach people to do is actually analyze that back once. And this is part of, we mentioned the inbox, which we'll cover in another show, where it's actually looking at, where do my stressors come from? Because for most of us, they're going to come from the same places all the time. Just different mm-hmm. things will bring them up. So once we've labeled that inbox and we know these are the things that get to me and this is why, then what do I do about those things? So I'm asking myself, what am I afraid of? What am I ashamed of? Oh yeah, I know now, because I've been there before. I've asked this question before. And what do I do about that?
Mm-hmm. And you say in here too, how to recognize anger when it doesn't look like mm-hmm. anger. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Helping people to look back at, kind of like we talked about the stew pot with the ingredients in it. The ingredients are always there, you know. I've got stuff in my heart and stuff in my spirit right now. We're talking, we're doing fine. But when I go out there and somebody runs a stop sign in front of me, some other stuff in the stew is going to come out, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was there before, mm-hmm. and you know, it could be the thing we heard on the news that troubles us. It could be a conversation I had with my daughter that didn't go quite right. It could be, you know, income tax needing to be done. Could be a lawn needing to be mowed. Could be a health problem. Could be someone else's health problem. All these ingredients are in what I call the inbox. And these are generating anxiety and depression all the time. And all it takes is for somebody to cross me and all this stuff erupts at them. So understanding anger when it doesn't look like anger, could be recognizing that I have anxiety because of that conversation. I have anxiety because of that scratch on my door. I have anxiety because I didn't get to the yard. I have anxiety because the Seahawks lost to,
right.
You know, still going over that, you know, just things like that. Yeah. Or I might be feeling really good today and might be a little bit full of myself and recognize, you know, being able to look at that and question that and say, you know, that's really a fear-based defense mechanism, that, you know, that whole ego thing. It doesn't feel like it now, but the litmus test will be what will happen when somebody gets between me and that feeling good about myself. Mm-hmm. And again, people can say, you know, Dan, aren't you nitpicking? Mm. But what I stress with people is it may seem like that at first, but unless you go this road and begin to recognize your anger before it looks like anger, you're never going to control your anger.
Are pride and anger kind of the same thing, or what would you?
Yeah, I would say they're very closely related, mm-hmm. because pride is, I don't really think that anybody ever felt that he or she was better than other people, but mm-hmm. we feel that we should be better mm-hmm. and that we must be better. And I think that's what pride is. Mm-hmm. It's a response to shame. Mm-hmm. It's a response to fear. Fear of what? Loss of value, control, and power, yeah. or lack of value, control,
but it's so
power.
Interesting to me, you're making that connection of anger to ultimately thinking about mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And can people be really angry with God?
Yes. Yeah. I think that, you know.
That's like the ultimate fist at the sky. Yeah. Why did you make me like this, Lord?
Yeah. And even if we don't recognize it, being angry with life is being angry with God. Because yeah. ultimately, I know we're saying somebody ought to do something about this, and there's only one person we could be talking to.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people express to me that they feel like spiritual schizophrenics because at one moment they're just in love with God, and the next moment they're cursing God, and that's like what we would express as that's like a non-integrative way of thinking. And so, actually, learning to deal with my anger gets me back to where that separation actually begins. Mm-hmm. And it probably gets back to a lack of understanding of salvation and my relationship with God. And that's what's allowed me to kind of see those things diverge mm-hmm. To where I sort of like schizophrenic or two personality.
Well, we've kind of opened up a lot of subjects here in the subject of anger. Let's get to a few key points on how to change some anger behaviors.
Yeah, recognizing, first of all, one of the, just in general, to recognize, as I said, the anger before it looks like anger, and recognize where it comes from. And then the other thing that I like to teach people to do is to analyze, to self-analyze, or to visualize. That is, I'd ask myself, what would I look like if I didn't have that behavior? What was an alternative way to deal with that? How would it have looked if I did that? You know, another way of thinking about that same thing is that in order to stop a behavior, you have to realize what it's costing you. Mm. And a lot of times I think that we don't realize what anger is costing us. Mm. Even pride, what it's costing us in terms of relationships, in terms of relationship with God, potential in life, growth in life, understanding in life, all those things that, you know, we assume that there's not a price tag on it. Visualizing is a way of looking at what's it costing me and what would life look like? What would it be like if I could change that behavior? How would it feel? How would I be? Visualize that. And then lastly, to self-analyze. And say, again, asking the questions, okay, so what am I afraid of? Where did this start? An example I could give about that, and I think I've in another article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, there's an article on, a two-part article on communication, and I give an example of you know, wandering around the house with the snack, and I come around the corner, I run in, bang my shin on the dishwasher door that's down, my wife is loading the dishwasher, and so I erupt, and I say, I can't really yell at her because she's doing a good job of that, but I feel like yelling at somebody. Right. And so I work my way back in there and I say, what happened just then? Mm. Self-analyze. Okay, first of all, the dishwasher's always there. It's going down, but I was walking around in circles eating. Why was I eating? It wasn't lunchtime. Oh, yes, that's right. I was supposed to be up in my office doing paperwork, and I thought, you know, the paperwork's a little bit, I think I'll go get something to eat. So that was an anger behavior. Why? It was a fear-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power. My office and all that pile of paperwork gave me the sense of right. loss of control, loss. Yes. And so I was, it was bringing me anxiety. I was annoyed, irritated, you know, and so I got out of there. So the eating, the snacking was actually the anger behavior. Didn't look like anger, but you see what happened when I banged into the dishwasher door, and that revealed, yes, there was an anger. So the anger actually started back. So what can I do about that? I've got to organize that office. That's always in my inbox. Not only does it cause me problems here, wandering around banging into the dishwasher, it causes me problems when I'm out with the neighbors or when I'm out in public or when I'm at church, you know, that I got to take care of that. So that would be a way of analyzing and managing that, managing the anger by managing
some very practical tips on how to deal with anger, whether it maybe comes up, obviously, in your personal life, comes up in your relationships, your marriage relationship. Now, you do marital counseling as well.
Lots. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots.
So if people would like to find out more about Daniel Pryor, his counseling services, his life coaching, you can go to BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can also submit questions. This show, Sound Mind, a brand new show with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS. We'd like to cover subjects of interest to you as well. And some of the subjects we'll be talking about on future episodes, anxiety and depression, addictions, again, marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned a little bit this week, the inbox. We'll be talking more about that in future broadcasts. So it's been so good to get to know you, Daniel. Very creative approach, fresh approach to counseling and making sure it's Bible-based counseling.
Right.
For more information, you can also call Daniel, 425-778-6169. And he has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. Thank you for your Sound Mind instruction today, Daniel Pryor.
Thank you, Mark. It's going to be a terrific show. Thank you.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.